Cape Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
At 7:47, it is Adam Gilchrist joining us on the line from London. I don't know about you, Adam, but if I were to be, in a giant rudder of an oil tanker for 11 days from Nigeria to the Canary Islands, I probably wouldn't make it on the other side. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm not sure I'd make it to the Canary Islands. I'm pretty sure I wouldn't make it to the Canary Islands. 11 days. And if you think about the rudders, how they are, there's only a little bit, basically, above the surface of the sea. And they are, of course, we're talking huge ships and huge rudders, but still, relatively speaking, a small bit to sit on. And yet there's this photo that's been shared by the Spanish Coast Guard of these three men on a rudder, presumably Nigerians, but they certainly came from Nigeria. There they are, about a meter above the water. Now consider 11 days of that, prone to waves. A storm would surely knock them off. The entire journey perched on this rudder. Sometimes there's a little hole that they can sort of go and sit inside, but otherwise exposure, dehydration, no food other than what you would have taken with you. Very precarious. The three of them found on this rudder, this, apparently rubber. It doesn't look rubber, but anyway, that's apparently what it's made of. They were taken to hospital in Gran Canaria in the Canary Islands and are being treated for moderate dehydration. But here's the stat that is... the one that is worrying, of course, for authorities and others. 1,100 people died trying to smuggle themselves in that way or similar ways from West Africa to the Canaries just last year. 1,100 deaths on that specific route last year alone. Big concern.
It is rather, certainly is. And those pictures shared by the Spanish were quite dramatic indeed. Adam, it's what, 280 days into Russia's invasion of Ukraine or something like that? We're seeing more support for Ukraine from NATO.
Yeah, I mean, there's already been an awful lot of support, but of course, President Zelensky and others don't waste any time in asking for more help, and they need it still. Talking about this critical energy infrastructure being so badly damaged by the Russian missile and drone strikes, and those strikes continue, and just as they repair a power plant, then the strike comes along again, and the power plant's taken out of commission, or at least part of it. So there's been this summit in Bucharest for NATO leaders, and the Secretary General, Jens Stoltenberg, accused Moscow of using winter as a weapon of war, talked about the millions of Ukrainians who are without electricity and running water, so essentially no light, no heat, no water, as the temperature still plunges. It's getting more wintry by the day, basically. Ukraine has been asking for months for more advanced air defense systems to knock these rockets and missiles out in the sky. But here's the bone of contention, and it hasn't really been settled by this NATO get-together either. Ukraine wants rockets and missiles that can be fired into Russian territory, or at least that would have a range that would take them into Russian territory, at which point NATO is thinking, can we allow our members' weapons, American in particular, to end up potentially shooting down or targeting Russian things in Russia? Does that not become a problem?
And I imagine Vladimir Putin is waiting for that first weapon to be used that will end up in Russia, because it will give him the justification he's waiting for, despite his depleted army, to then go into war basically with the NATO members. Let's finish off with a story that will just touch your heart. A reunion that was 51 years in the making.
Quite something. There's a DNA test it came down to in the end. This is a Texas woman reunited with her long-lost family, and it ends a mystery that's lasted, as you say, over half a century. Melissa Highsmith, who's now 53, she was abducted by a babysitter. She was just a toddler. She was 22 months old at the time. She was abducted by a babysitter who'd been found via an ad in a newspaper in Fort Worth in 1971. Essentially, when parents came back, the babysitter had vanished with baby Melissa, who was then apparently passed on to another woman in subsequent months. She was brought up under the name Melanie Walden. That woman, the woman who brought her up, her unnatural mother, as it were, knew she'd been kidnapped as well, apparently. For decades, the Highsmith family searched police, FBI, private detectives, their own investigations, to no avail. Now, a chance DNA trace on an ancestry website, suddenly two ends met in the middle, and a genealogist also took part in this and reunited the Highsmiths. So Melissa is going back to that name now, having been Melanie Walden all these years. She's going back to Melissa Highsmith, and her parents are both still alive, which is wonderful too. And Fort Worth police say they're investigating again. But here's the thing, 51 years on, the statute of limitations kicks in, so it's extremely unlikely anyone will ever be prosecuted, even though we now know who the kidnapper was and who the other participants were in the crime.
Which is rather sad. Adam, thank you very much for your time this morning. Adam Gilchrist, back with us tomorrow morning.